Evil forces work destruction. In our study this week, we will consider Revelation 9, which is a continuation of the trumpets. But we will think, as Daniel and Revelation and other Adventist viewpoint take, the attacks made on the east of the empire as the first four trumpets attacked the west part of the empire. And the fifth angel sounded, that is the fifth trumpet, and the picture that is given here has been considered by many as applying to the Muslims. Like locusts, they come out of the desert, they swarm over the earth, they eat every piece of grass and every leaf on every green tree. But now they are to spare, in verse 4, those men who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. They are to destroy, rather, only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads, that they should kill, but they should be tormented 5 months. In the book Great Controversy, these periods that are given in these two trumpets are taken and slightly developed. And I have liked to consider them. Which are these 5 months? 5 months are 150 days, if you look in the story of the flood. And each day being a year, this refers to a period of 150 years. Now, when did the Muslims specially torment the eastern part of the Roman Empire? Well, the dates that are given, Uriah Smith, is from July 27, 1299 to July 27, 1449, period of 150 years. And then there is another period given in the succeeding trumpet, verse 15, that they should continue for an hour, day, and a month, and a year. Now, if you add this up, this is 391 years and 14 days, or 15 days. And this takes us from July 27, 1449, to August 11, 1840. And in Great Controversy, Ellen White tells us that Josiah Litch studied this prophecy and thought that something very spectacular would take place on August 11, at which time the Ottoman Muslim very powerful influence in the eastern Mediterranean basin and lands ceased. And as she said, the prediction was fulfilled by the circumstances. As we study these trumpets, we see that there are many details that we don't understand. But there seems to be little pegs that we can hold on to that we can understand. And I think these 150 years and hour, day, month, and a year, 391 years and 15 days, are such pegs that bring us down to 1840. So whatever happened in these places to kill and destroy and torture and hurt bring us down to 1840. Just as whatever happened in the seals, we suddenly come down past the Lisbon earthquake and the dark day and the falling of the stars, and we're coming down to the crucial period in the 1840s. The destroyers, in verse 11 of Revelation 9, are called Abaddon in Hebrew and Apollyon in Greek, which means destroyer. So all kinds of destructions followed. Now let's take a parallel just for a moment of the churches and the seals and the trumpets. In the churches, Jesus Christ, as the pastor of the pastors, is very concerned with the spiritual condition of the church. In the seals, Jesus Christ, sitting on the judgment throne as the deciding lamb, as the lion of the tribe of Judah, pouring out his blood, is very concerned with what they do about repenting, so that he can cover with blood all the record of their sins in the books that are recorded. Now here in the eighth and ninth chapters, in anticipation for the close of probation, which we see when the censer was cast down in 8 verse 5, we are shown the terrible atrocities and happenings in the earth which lead up to the close of probation and the destruction of the wicked. The question is asked at the end of chapter 6, the wrath of the Lamb has come, the great day of his judgment is come, who is going to stand, who is going to survive? And the immediate answer in chapter 7 are the seals. And chapter 8, with the silence, tells us that the heaven is not happy with the destruction of the wicked. But as we see the verses that follow, God's got no alternative. The language is used is vigorous and terrifying. The sun is darkened, the smoke is like a great furnace, the locusts are upon the earth, they are devouring everything, there's the scorpion that strikes men, they are like horses prepared to battle, their teeth are like the teeth of a lion, they have wings and chariots and horses running. Their power is to hurt. They have stings in their tails. Their names are Abaddon and Apollyon. They are destruction. Woe, woe, woe. What conditions have come upon the earth? We see the placid pastoral scenes of the seven churches. We watch the judicial opening of the seals. And now we're given into a glimpse into why the wicked are destroyed, that leads to the silence in heaven while they are being destroyed. And yet, through this all, the wonderful numberer controls the numbers. When he says they will be in captivity 70 years, they're in captivity 70 years. When he says they're going to be 490 years for his people, and 483 of them are going to bring you to Messiah the Prince, he comes to pass. When he says in Genesis 15 that the affliction will be 400 years and the sojourning is 430, on the self-same day it comes to pass. So we see the same principle in operation here. While evil men and wicked men and the destroyer are destroying their terrible work, God is in control. He says 150 years, 150 years pass by. He says 391 years and 15 days, that happens to the day. He is in total control. And then in Revelation 9, verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in vision and them that sat on them. But these three, by these three, verse 18, were men killed, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. And verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works. This we can understand. God allows all kinds of terrible things to happen, that men might be awakened, shaken. He let Satan loose, that men might use their intelligence and say, when we were on God's side, this didn't happen. What have we done? Where have we gone? How far have we departed? If we come back, will he save us? But they repented not of their works, of their hands. that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood. It cannot see or hear or walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. And so in chapters 8 and 9, we get a picture on the one side of God in the most holy place, of the priest mediating at the altar in the holy place, of the incense added to the prayers of the saints, continuing until the censer was cast down. And the reason it was cast down is given to us in the sounding of the trumpet. Wickedness, evil, destruction, horror, murder, poison, serpents, dragons, scorpions, famine, heat. These are the pictures. It's because men are so far tied up with the things of evil that God has got to act. And so the picture is given of the trumpets indicating his perfect, clear understanding of what takes place. Now, if these trumpets represent the plagues or parallel the plagues, then the plagues fall after probation is closed, after the censer has been cast down, after Christ's mediation is finished, as such terrible happenings on this planet that although the death decree has been passed, and although the persecution is about to bring forth, the wicked are so distracted by what takes place that the hated sect is spared.